Welcome to the Human Design and Beyond podcast with your hosts, Leslie Wegleitner and Lori Wakefield. In these podcasts, we discuss all things related to human design. It's here where we share our knowledge, insights, and experiences. Join us as we dive into authentic conversations about letting go of resistance, identifying conditioning, and so much more. Our goal for you is to live in alignment with your unique human design. These quick bouts of inspiration will bring forward things to contemplate about your individual charts and inspire experiences in your everyday life to support your journey.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Lori.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie.
So today we have a guest. Her name is Barbara, and she is going to... Why don't you introduce yourself, Barbara, and then we'll ask some questions during the conversation. But why don't you just go ahead and give us the audience just an idea about who you are and some things that you do.
Okay, sure. And shut me down if I talk too much, please. My name is Barbara Ann Jakes. I am the founder of Disrupting Gracefully, and I provide leaders, you know, the tools and the space to really embrace that inner disruptor. Now, the inner disruptor is something that I came up with, so a lot of people don't understand what that is, but the inner disruptor is just somebody that it's a part of you that's usually held back by your inner critic, your conditioning, all of those things. So the key difference with me when I work with individuals is that I really help them tap into that inner disruptor from a state of grace. So they are coherent between their spiritual and their physical, their mind and their heart. And, you know, I just don't buy into those confrontational battles or divisive tactics. So I, you know, really advocate for recognizing and embracing the interconnectedness of all things and then the potential impacts of our actions.
Right. Yeah. You know what I was going to say? Like, I didn't want to say this. Wasn't really like, because I didn't know how to pronounce your last name, and I didn't ask you before we started recording, so I kind of got a little bit off track there. But anyway, so your website is called Disrupting Gracefully, and I saw this on your website that which is basically what you've already said. You're a visionary researcher, mystical practitioner, transformative educator, and empowering coach, weaving together diverse modalities, including shamanic energy work to ignite visionary change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been quite the journey getting there, because my whole life was, you know, keeping two separate sides apart, and merging those two have become, it was difficult. It was difficult merging. How do you go into academics and then start talking about shamanic journeys?
Right.
The value.
Yeah. So you have a PhD. So you're actually a college professor, right?
Yep, I am. I'm a faculty chair. I oversee a whole program. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You're a busy girl. Process of disrupting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's got the gate 51 in her chart too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I actually didn't look to see what planet that's in, but the gate 51 is, it's a, it can be a disruptor in a positive way. It can be a catalyst for change.
Yeah, that's been my whole life. So, when I look at something, I look at things from like a really higher perspective, and I see patterns. I just see things differently. I see patterns. Like, I know, like, when they pass a law, I can see all of these potentials of how it could go wrong, you know, but,
you know, oh gosh, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was going to say, because one of it, when we were talking before we got on the podcast, and Leslie was talking about how your root center is connected to both the solar plexus and the splenic center. So you have, 1858 channel, 1858 and channel, or excuse me, gate 18 is like, it's a gate of perfection, or the gate of like wanting to correct and change. And then you've also got gate 17, which is gate of opinions. So, you know, you probably have just different opinions about different things too, you know, like as far as like what you're, even that example that you just gave about the laws, you know, or, you know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. And I absolutely do, because what I see, well, so I didn't explain, but all my formal education isn't actually in criminal justice.
Okay.
It's sociology, psychology, it's criminal justice. I'll just summarize it that way. So for me, I've always looked at our social systems, especially our criminal justice system, and I looked at how it was created. So I go back to the root of it, and then I look at how we're at now. And a lot of people will say, oh, our system's broken. I'm like, it is not broken. It is working exactly how it was designed to work. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. The way it was designed to work was through fear, control. It's about a conditioning, you know, don't do this or you'll get that, mm-hmm. rather than reconnecting to the truth of who we are. You know, that's been lost for so long. So there's no wonder that we have shootings all the time. People are lost. We don't know who we are. We've been disconnected, you know, ever since the industrial age, we've been disconnected. And I think like things like human design and what I do and all of these things, it's just beautiful to bring us back to the truth of who we are and that we operate from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you want to add anything, Leslie?
Well, it's just, it's those spaces that we feel within that are unsettled is just that we're settling too, right? It's like, we know that there's something bigger and better that wants to emerge or come forward, and yet we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. That's where your work comes in, I feel too, is kind of like, well, how can we gracefully bring that forward,
right,
for the person to experience it differently? Yeah.
Yeah. Like our whole system is built on us against them.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's just time for a change. And it's the same with our healthcare system, it's our education system. It's a power over power under structure. And so there's just so many people coming in now and seeing that, nope, it's time to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you're still a professor. We already talked about that. So when did you start getting into like the disrupting gracefully, the work that you do there? When did you start getting into that?
Oh, so in 2014, my body started shutting down. And I mean, I was living a good life. You know, I had all the external things. I had the great job. I had the great friends. I had the great house. I had my horses. I had it all. And my body started shutting down. And I learned that I was going into bone marrow failure. So there was absolutely nothing that could be done for me except a bone marrow transplant. So in 2015, I went in and I'll tell you what. There was a control thing for me. I did not want to leave my house. It required being away at least 3 months in a hospital. And you know, I had to surrender to it all. And I went and I did it. And in the process, I lost everything. The husband had an affair, had a breakdown, mm-hmm. had to sell my house. I had to rehome my animals. I didn't have an immune system. I couldn't take care of them. I had never done anything like that in my life. Mm-hmm. And I lost everything that I had outwardly defined myself by. And it was such a beautiful opportunity to go back in and say, wait, who am I? And what am I expressing to the world? And I was gifted that opportunity to really break down all of that conditioning of shoulds. You should get a higher education. You should contribute this way and get into the I am. I am this, and this is what I will express to the world. So that's how disrupting gracefully came about.
And it's interesting because you have gate 14 in your unconscious son, which is possession in great measure. And it has a lot to do with the capacity to work hard towards prosperity. And you've got it a few times. Let's see, you have it in Neptune and you have it in your Mars unconsciously. But in the design sun aspect in line 6, it's all about humility and realizing that true wealth comes from within and not be measured by your material possessions. And so like your story is beautifully, I feel like it really resonates with that, you know, and you coming forward and having to have a breakdown and realize, well, wait a minute, I need to step step back into who I really am. And it's not about the, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I knew who I was from an early life. I could see things that, you know, my sisters couldn't see. And I experienced things that other people couldn't experience, but I was just like, how do you make money at this?
Right. In a way that would be not just a sellout, but in a way that would be useful to others and help transform them in some way.
Oh, how do I support a family and all of those things? Exactly. I was eight, you know, 18 and thinking about college and all of these things. And yeah. And so I don't remember. Oh, I actually started in nursing. I started in nursing and I was asked to dissect a cat and I was like, no, I cannot do that. No, I cannot do it. No. And I was just happened to take I think it was a criminal law class. And I remember sitting in the class and I'm like, is this really how our system is run? This is insane. What's the matter? And then that just kind of propelled me forward in my studies. But it was also a lot to do with ego and thinking I had to have a PhD to make a difference in the world. And that is just not true. Mm-hmm. But it was a belief that I was holding.
It's interesting how we can so discredit our innate gifts within, you know, like your visionary and your ability to intuit things and see the patterns. And yet we feel like we push them to the side and we feel like, well, how am I going to make money at that?
Yeah.
When it truly all comes forward in whatever you do, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking too about something that you're offering to people in May of 2024. It's a trip to Egypt. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I was invited to Egypt last year and, you know, and we all come from there in some way. I do believe we're all tied back to that. And I was invited, a friend was hosting a trip last year and it was just an incredible experience. Like things we always hear activations and things like that. Those are real, real. It's something was activated in me that really just turned on more of the mystic that I already am. Mm-hmm. And so in collaboration with Captivating Egypt Tours, we're hosting another tour for next May. And I'm so excited to be the host of it this time.
Right.
Yeah. And so I can give, you know, Waleed, he'll give the historical perspective of what we're going to see and I'll give the metaphysical, you know, and it'll be a nice weaving of information and allowance for people to tap into what they gather from these sites. Yeah.
So how big is the group usually?
The one I went on was less than 10. We are getting up there in numbers now, but he said up to 30 people.
Okay.
Would be fine. Yeah, we're fine. We have plenty of room. And he said that he would accommodate anything that I needed. He's a wonderful, amazing human being.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that sounds really interesting. I know like the first time I went to your website and it was probably at least a month ago when Leslie reached out to you. And I was like, wow, like that is so cool. That'd be like a really, really cool experience. Yeah.
It's a cool experience and it's actually very affordable. And compared to a lot of different trips that I've looked at. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll link to that. I mean, actually we'll link to your website, like your general website in the show notes, but we'll, you know, put a link to that one too. Even though they could find it by just going to your website, we'll still link to it.
Thank you.
Separately. Yeah. And then you have a book that's going to be coming out, right?
I do. It's called How to Be a Graceful Disruptor. The title is a little bit in the works. We don't have the clear subtitle yet, but it's really about what we're talking about here, getting back to the root of who you are and bringing those gifts forwards rather than allowing that inner critic to say no. And it should be out in the spring. It's not a definite yet, but it should be out in the spring. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
It'll be nice if it coincided with Egypt. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. So Leslie, did you have anything else that you wanted to bring out about Barb's chart?
Well, being that your conscious son is in gate 30 line 4, which is kind of known to be the burnout, you know, possibility burnout. So did you find that, I mean, it sounds like your story that you kind of went into was probably your burnout phase.
Yeah. So let me tell you about my burnout. So I'm in the hospital. You need to have an ANC, and that's where your immune system is brought up to a thousand. My ANC was 24.
Oh my gosh.
Three months into it. I'm not growing. I'm just not growing the red blood cells. And my doctors are totally perplexed. They have no idea why I'm not growing blood, because the process of a bone marrow transplant is they kill everything in your system with chemo and radiation, and they put a donor in. So for a year, I lived off of blood transfusions. So I probably every 2 to 3 days, I got a blood transfusion, and that just kept me alive, kept me functioning. I wasn't thriving. I wasn't anything. And because of everything that had happened with my husband, I had to go back to work after 6 months. So I was still getting blood transfusions every 2 to 3 days, and I had to go back to work. And yeah, I went into complete and utter burnout. I did not honor my body. I learned a lot from that. And I think that like a key thing, another key thing that came out of that was about honoring my body and listening to my body. Our body speaks to us.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I've found out like as I've gotten older that I listen to my body a whole lot more than I used to when I was younger. I was going to ask too, like when you went through what you went through, like, did you feel like angry with your body or like just angry about what you were going through?
I think at first I was angry because I had this wonderful network of supportive friends around me who were in the metaphysical healer realm, all of those things. And they did everything they possibly could for me. And I just got worse and worse and worse every day. And so I started really questioning all of these metaphysical things I had believed all of these years. You know, has this been a fantasy? And it hasn't been. And I think I had to go through this process. I do believe I set this up for myself so I could finally integrate, because it was a year before I could integrate his blood into mine. And it just turned out it was the medication that the doctor had me on. And
that caused the issues.
That caused all of the issues.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He had me on an immunosuppressant, which you have to be on immunosuppressants so you don't get graft versus host, which I got several times. But once he changed that medication, it was like a year after the transplant, I started growing healthy blood cells. So I was angry at that. I was angry because I kept telling him it was my medication. I heard very clearly, it's your medication. And I told him. And he said, no, you have to be on this. It's, you know, and I trusted him, and I trusted his authority over my inner wisdom.
Right. And so how did it come about that you realized that like, if he wasn't receptive to what you were saying, then did someone else step in? Did you go to another doctor or how did that?
There's very few experts like that in the field. And I was blessed because they were pretty close to me. He just had a group, you know, they would have group meetings every Friday. The doctors would talk about the cases. And I don't know how it came about, but he said it was a result of a group meeting. I don't know if it was a new drug that came out or if somebody said, let's just try it. So that's what they did.
Do you think he brought up like what you were going through or like maybe how you were questioning whether it could have been the issue or it was for another reason?
I'm not sure. I think, well, you know, how you can't live on other people's blood every 2 to 3 days for so long. It caused iron overload, it caused liver damage, it caused all of that stuff. But it also, you know, that integration of that biology, you know, is what was the catalyst for the integration of me, of my true me with, my intellectual me. So, I mean, it sounds like it was a terrible thing, but in hindsight, it wasn't. It was hard going through it, yeah. But it's really brought me to where I am today. And I'm finally at a place of inner harmony where it was always this or that. And now it's inner harmony.
Mm-hmm. So you have the gate 29 off of the sacral, and it's about perseverance and the ability, you know, to say yes to life experiences, even though, you know, we always think of yes as being a positive, but a negative can turn into a positive, you know, And then it's that commitment to life and the ability to withstand trials and tribulations. That's just
I was just gonna say, anybody who has gate 29, like they'll keep pushing even when others would quit.
Yeah,
it was that or die.
What choice do you have? I think I'll take life. Yeah. I was going to say, too, when you were talking about, like, how, you know, you had, I had people who were trying to work with you to, you know, to help heal you, and nothing was working. Like, I don't know, like, where you're at with stuff, but I believe in God. And I believe that God uses people to heal. Like, I don't believe that, like, those are things that like, we don't give those gifts to ourselves. You know, right. God creates us, and that healing is not because we conjure it up within ourselves. It's because we're being used as a channel to heal, and God can heal who he wants to heal and who he doesn't want to heal. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's so, it's not like, even though like healing does take place through people, but not always. It doesn't mean that healing doesn't take place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think it can usurp your, I think we come here with things that I don't believe about lessons. I don't buy into that. I mean, I think as a college professor, I have a prescribed lesson. I'm here to teach you something and you're going to get X out of it. And I don't think life is just about getting X out of it. It's about experiences. And the perception that we hold at any given time can adjust what we get out of it. So there's no cut and dry lesson, but I do think that we come here to experience certain things. And if our, you know, if our higher self, which is a part of God to, and for me, says, no, you have to go through this,
right?
You know, you have to experience this and let's see how you process it. Nothing anybody ever could ever do to change that. Most beautiful gifted healers wouldn't change that. It's metaphorically speaking, I think of it like the medication I was given. Nothing could change it because that medication was in the way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the soul comes in, you know, its purpose might be completely different than what our ego wants our purpose to be.
And right.
So to be able to surrender to that and,
right.
and just be in the experience without labeling things. Which is really tough when you went through something like you have, you know, to really stay in that area of neutrality.
I just try to, now I just try to love every experience, even if it's a, what can be defined as a challenge. I'm like, okay, where am I going to come out on the other end?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be prescribed, you know, that's like, I did learn this through my transplant, is that I always had expectations. I put expectations on things. If I'm going to do X, I'm going to get Y. And in the end, you know, when I was angry with what my husband had done and all of those things, and I finally came to a place of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And it was because he didn't fail me. My expectations I had put on him that had failed me.
Right. Yeah.
And then I finally, whew, I can move forward through a lot once I realized that it wasn't about him. It was about me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's how we let go of things is by, you know, by not pointing outward, but you know, within, like even if it's something where we had a minor part in what happened, we still made a choice, you know what I mean, to put ourselves in that position. So, you know, absolutely. Healing is to just, you know, just be able to move beyond pointing the finger or, you know, looking outward.
Absolutely.
I just have to add with your chart. You don't.
I love this.
So that root center goes to that solar plexus through the 4130 that we talked about. And then you're completely open through the 3536, which that's bringing in the wisdom. So it's like if you followed that channel to get to the throat, it's all about the jack of all trades, or it's about the expectation, like the experience and having, it's about new experiences, but then, you know, kind of the shadow side of that can be like having the expectations of that experience. So with your wisdom, it feels like you brought in you know, understanding, because you're all about the new experience, and understanding that sometimes that new experience just has to, I have to surrender to it and let it just unfold, then try to put expectations on it to try to control the outcome.
Right, to make it be what it's going to, yeah. And that can happen too with even the 4130, you know, that channel is that, you know, like you have these preconceived ideas of how something should be, you know, and then it's like you go through and it's like, wow, like this isn't what I expected it to be. And that can be good or bad. I mean, I know before we got on the call, you were talking about that, Barb, that usually it's better than what you thought, but there are people who have the opposite, you know, reaction to it. Like, you know, it's like they wanted it to be like so much more than it was, you know, so there's a disappointment there, but I don't know where I was going, but I picked up on something you said, Leslie.
41 can be kind of a fantasy, like you can create a fantasy world in your, you know, it's also visionary, right? So it's just what side of the coin that you fall on, but it seems like you brought in the wisdom through your experience and your soul is high fiving you.
Finally. He wasn't happy for a long time.
You know? Soul probably was. Maybe the ego was not.
Yeah.
So now when you work with clients, what do you do now?
I do whatever. There's no expectation other than, you know, it's what's important in the moment. So usually it's like a couple hour session where we just go through all of these different things where I can get that big picture of their patterns, their behaviors, and all of those things. And then we do the coaching and we work through it, but I'll bring in a shamanic journey. I will bring in hypnosis. I've been a hypnotherapist since 2004 or 2005. I'll bring all that stuff in, Reiki energy, different types of earth energies. It's a weaving of so many different things, and it's unique to whoever it is. That is for personal transformation, but I'm really moving more into keynote speaking and like just changing paradigms and beliefs of like certain work and how we are, and you know, that lead to burnout and things like that. And, you know, that whole fake it until you make it.
Yeah. So like, are you talking about like speaking engagements, like to be more like on a more collective level, like on a larger scale, so that you can talk to people, you know, more about that type of transformation?
Yeah.
Rather than individually. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and I think it, for me lately, it's a lot about harmonizing authenticity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, there's a big push in work about I belong and inclusion and diversity and all of that. But there has to be a harmonizing of each individual's authenticity and being, you know, in that inclusive environment. And so everything for me is about finding harmony. It's finding balance. It's never one or the other. It's not us against them. So I'm doing a lot of things. The coaching sessions are unique. I also, you know, teach intuition. I'll teach the inner harmony. I'll teach all of that stuff. And I won't say I teach it. I really just provide a space for people to open up and find it on their own. Because, I mean, as a professor, I know we are trained to memorize, spit it out for the test, and move on. And that's not how change happens. And that's not our future. It's really digging deep into who we are and changing or adjusting who we are, so we're in harmony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And moving from it.
It kind of fits the integration process.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so for so long, you know, my dad gave me a Nostradamus book when I was like 12 years old. I don't even know. I was like, this is fascinating. How did this man know these things? You know? And it just like kind of, you know, and one of my grandmothers passed when I think I was in second grade, and I knew it. And I knew it before anybody told us. And so all of those things have always been there. And I put them for weekend hobbies. And that's that exploration, that inner exploration of the spiritual side of who we are should have been at the forefront, not the pushing through the getting the advanced degrees and doing all the shoulds that society says. So I kind of bring people, or provide the space to bring people back to really what is authentic to them, right? Because authenticity can actually be so fake in today's world.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting is that you had to take that path to be able to look back and see that that wasn't, you know, that wasn't really aligned with who you are, right?
Yeah, I followed the shoulds because I thought the shoulds knew better, you know.
Do you think that was from conditioning, like as you were growing up? Was it like, you know, from your parents or just your own thinking that, you know, about what you saw in life that led to success?
Or was it never both? My parents. My parents were always very open to my I'll say uniqueness. You know, they didn't question it. They didn't understand it, but they didn't question it. I think it was me. I was projecting what I thought other people wanted me to do to be a successful contributor to society, I guess. You know, like, what did I learn from my guidance counselor? You need to go to college. You need to be a contributing member of society. And you do that through going to college and accumulating debt. And
yeah, exactly.
They didn't mention that.
Interesting, because
they don't tell you the whole story.
No. You're a split definition, and so that just means you have centers that are defined, but they don't all connect. So you have two separate islands within that, and you really only have one gate. And to correct that, sometimes people will have, you know, 3-4 different ways. So all that conditioning is going to fall into that gate 44 for you. And so the conditioning process for you, I got to find what I wrote down here, is you're running the risk of overcommitting and making promises without being able to keep them and forfeiting your own trust. And then it's fear of the past will catch up to you, kind of what you were saying with like, people telling you, you have to do this, you have to go to school, you have to, and if I don't, what's going to happen? Like fear of, you know, how that's all going to play out if I'm not doing and committing to what these people are saying I should do. So fascinating. It really does fit in that that would be your number one conditioning.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot, it's interesting that you only have the one gate. I mean, sometimes people have a few, and so it's kind of spread out, or, you know, some will dominate others, just the flow of the energy of the chart. Right. But
what Leslie's talking about is when you have there, it's called definition in a chart. So you have centers that are defined. Everybody has at least one center defined, unless they're a reflector. So if you have at least two centers connected with a channel, you're going to have it's going to create definition in the chart. So you have, I think it's five centers defined. So you have two separate, they're called islands. You have two separate, like, I think one is what would be three, because it's the root, the spleen, the splenic center, and the solar plexus are connected. And then you've got, it's the sacral and the will center, right, Leslie? I'm not looking at the chart.
The will and the ego.
Okay, so six. So she's got six. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is, so you've got those two different islands. So Leslie was saying to connect them, like people, especially with split definition, they're more like even though it might not be on a conscious level, they're more looking for that connection to bridge the split than like a triple split or a quadruple split. Mm-hmm. But with your chart, like a lot of times people, when they have a split definition, they'll have different gates that can connect to connect all of them together. Does that make sense?
A little bit.
Okay. So all the centers would be connected through like that gate, whether it's somebody that you're around who's got that gate activated, or whether it's a transit that comes in temporarily. So it connects all those gates. So there's a, I don't know, what would you call it? Just a feeling like, I don't want to say you're complete, because it's not like that really necessarily. Go ahead.
Cool though. I mean, because you have these two aspects of self that are always, you're bouncing between, right? So you got the root that's going, you know, what we talked about, the splenic and the solar plexus, but then you have this other sense of self, to, you know, that's driven by the sacral. So you have, you know, those are kind of two really different energies.
They're very different energies, yeah, because you've got the G center, the will center, and the sacral.
To like, which, it's almost like your mind's going, am I going to listen to this part of me or this part of me, and bouncing back and forth. And so when you're with someone that brings in that gate 44 or transit comes through, you're just like, oh, it's all connected. It's all like,
yeah, you feel, I guess. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I mean, that's, that's what I always say. It's like, I had to heal a divide within me. And that divide was between my intellectual conditioning, you know, what it is, and then that spiritual imagination. Does that make sense? Am I hearing it right?
The energies, definitely. I can see the link there, that how you would feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been competing in my whole life. But I use that bone marrow transplant. Like, if I can integrate somebody else's DNA, and I mean, as a professor, just say, hey, if I bled, I'm bleeding my donor's blood, you know, you know? <Yeah, right. laughs> Like, so it's a nice talking point, but it's also, it's a jumping off point of realizing, hey, I integrated somebody's DNA into me and brought me back into that state of, wellness. Why can't I integrate these parts of me and show up fully? One might be a little louder sometimes, but they're in harmony with each other rather than competing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Leslie's a triple split. I'm a split like you are, but I have several different gates. I think I have like maybe three different gates that could connect, but connect, so that it bridges the split. And then, but Leslie's got a triple split, so it's a little bit different for them. They don't really seek that in the same way.
No, but I definitely feel the three different parts of me.
Yeah.
Make decision making. I can bounce from my head. I can bounce into my inner core. And then, I have my emotional center.
Yes. Yep.
It kind of can get that sense of how, if you just have two islands, how that would feel, and maybe even more intense because there's only two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned reflectors. I know my daughter is one.
Okay. Yeah. So they're totally open. They have gates defined, but they have no centers defined. And in order for a center to be defined, there has to be a channel which connects one gate from a center to another gate from a center. So yeah, reflectors are interesting because they're like when you have openness, okay, like if you're not a reflector and you have openness, you're more prone to conditioning than somebody who's a reflector. Even with all that openness,
mm-hmm.
you're more like that center or that open gate is more prone to conditioning than it would be for a reflector. Reflectors, like when I think of like, it's like being in a house, like with the cross breeze, like windows open. It's like they don't hang on to the energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of, if they're living the way that they're designed to live, it's just more, they allow things to flow through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're different, very different than everybody else. And I think, or every other type, I think it's really hard because like you are what you are. So to like, you can know like what's said about them. You can talk to them and find out. We actually interviewed a reflector, but to actually know like what they experience, it's hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe interesting. Yeah, the different people that have that gate 44 in your life, that, did your ex-husband have it? Does your reflector daughter have it? Because then, we are the mirrors. So as being a parent of a reflector, she's mirroring back to you. It'd be interesting with the mystical side coming forward for you. Was that something that she contributed, like mirroring to you, like you need to, because that's what they're here to do. That's kind of their gift, is to be able to mirror. And it's, sometimes a little bit difficult to be in relationship. And I would think as a mother, because we do that anyways with our children, we really can intuit them, but we're learning about ourselves as we're raising our children, I feel. So with a reflector, they're going to be wise, they're going to be not even intentional, but they're going to be, reflecting this energy back at you for you to grasp and to understand. So.
Yeah. Did you find that with your daughter at all, or do you find it?
Yeah. And, through the whole transplant process, she was the one that was there. She was someone that was there for me and showing me things that I couldn't see. Even she didn't realize what she was doing, I don't think. It was just it was just happening. So, you know, these wonderful wise tidbits would pop out of her mouth. And I'm like, really? So, yeah.
Interesting.
I was just going to say, we should probably wrap things up so that you have something that you need to go do, right, Barb?
I have twin grandchildren I'm going to go pick up.
Oh, fun.
Now I want to do their charts.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And you know, like how the relationship between charts is really interesting too. Leslie focuses on that a lot. It is. It's fascinating.
It is.
Yeah.
And I want to say they're 20 minutes apart. They're 20 minutes apart. Yeah.
Wow. They're twins. Okay.
Yeah. They're twins. Yeah. Yeah. Fraternal. Yeah. And they're opposites. They're complete opposites. One's blonde hair, blue eyes. One's brown hair, brown eyes. One's a control freak, a perfectionist. One's a girly girl. You know, it's just...
Are they identical?
Well, no, they're fraternal.
Fraternal, yeah. It's kind of a dumb question.
they're definitely their own people.
It is interesting how we're all so different. And they're, you know, like even with human design, like even when you get down to the gates and the lines, there are you know, things that are even more like detailed into the chart itself. But then again, you know, it's also, aside from the physical part of it, you know, even though you can be like an identical twin, you're still going to have different experiences. Like you're not always with each other to you know, and conditioning and experiences are things that, you know, that become part of who we are too, you know?
Right. Exactly. It's the whole bubble. It's everything. But there's really a lot of interesting studies out there of twins who are separated at birth and how they have wives with the same names and married at the same time. And it's really just very interesting. It speaks so much more to, it's not just about our conscious decision-making.
Right,
there's exactly. There's a lot going on in the back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder too, like how different it is, like for like twins separated at birth, if they're identical or fraternal, you know what I mean? Like how that would be different.
You know, it's been most of the identical twin studies that they've done. Yeah.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you have anything else that you wanted to say, Leslie?
No.
Did you have anything else you wanted to share, Barb?
Well, no, I think this has been a really great conversation. I've learned a lot about me. And
we've learned a lot about you.
Yeah. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being a guest. So if you want to find out more about Barb and also about the trip to Egypt, you can go to her website. It's disruptinggracefully.com. And I'll put that in the show notes, instead of trying to spell it out. That's a mouthful trying to spell all that out, isn't it? disruptinggracefully.com. So, and then I'll also put a link to the trip to Egypt, which sounds super exciting. One thing I did want to ask about is I noticed that you're doing a summit right now that began on the 2nd, or is that someone else?
I'm part of the summit. It airs on Monday. So before this will air.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that might be something that would interest people too.
I just started loading up. I mean, I'm on a lot of podcasts actually, and I just started loading them onto my webpage.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. So that's going to wrap things up for this episode. If you'd like to see the show notes for today's podcast, you can find them on our website at www.alignandachievebydesign.com. The show notes will be listed under podcast episode 50. If you'd like to join us as we continue our exploration into topics about human design and other complementary modalities, please be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Thanks again and have a great day.
Thanks, everyone.